And do you know that baseball is biblical? It is. What's the first phrase of the Bible? In the big inning, right? In the big inning. So we do a deal, if we could have that slide up there. It's called Nazarene Night at Boise Hawks. This year it's July 13th. It's at the Boise Hawks Stadium in Boise. Coolest thing about it is you buy your ticket for $15, and then all the concessions you can eat for the first four innings are absolutely free. Can you believe that? And I've watched. I know you guys are foodies. I've read your bulletin. I've been online. I know about what's going on here tonight with hot dogs and barbecue and all that kind of stuff. And so you're going to love this. Even if you hate baseball, come for the free food. And all this food stuff kind of reminds me of the three little guys who were going to a faith-based kindergarten. And it was show and tell day. And they were supposed to bring something that represented the religion in their household, something that represented their spiritual foundation. And so the first little guy, he got up there and he said, "My name is Jonathan, and I'm Catholic, and this is a crucifix. This represents the religion in my home." Next little guy got up and said, "My name is Joshua. I'm Jewish, and this is the Star of David." And all the students oohed and awed because they'd never seen the Star of David before. And then Jerry said, "My name is Jerry. I'm Nazarene. This is a casserole. This is who we are. This is who we are." So anyway, you can go online. You just go to eaglenaz.com/hawks, and you can buy your ticket right online, and it shows up in your inbox, and we would love to have you join us for that special time. And they do great music there, songs that you would recognize, like the Star-Spangled Banner and Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And you can sing along, and you know all the words. So speaking of music, what's your favorite kind of music? What do you like best? Not a trick question. How about country music? We got any country music fans? I see those hands. That's a prayer request. How many of you like the oldies? You know, the Beatles, the songs from the 60s, the stuff we grew up with. How about jazz? We have any jazz fans here? All right, we got some jazz fans. Anybody like, this is a dumb question. Classical, is that what you said? Elvis, yeah, he's with that 60s stuff. Yeah, I know Elvis. He and I are good friends. I wrote most of his songs. That's not true. That really is not true. Classical music, anybody? Classical music? Wonderful. How about Southern Gospel? Yeah, good stuff. Do you know that I believe with all my heart that the fact that we like music is more than just the fact that we like music? I honestly believe that God wired us. It's in our DNA. Our Creator created us to be moved by music. I honestly believe that. I don't think it's a mistake. And I'm not just talking about feelings and emotions. I'm talking about the reality that music and how it speaks to us and moves us is consistent with Scripture. There's something so powerful and so inspirational and so, oh, I can't find all the right words, worshipful, praiseful. When we're singing together, God's stuff, there's something transformational that can take place in us. I really believe that. It is consistent with Scripture. And it's not just about feelings and emotions. Music is a significant key element all through the Bible, both old and new. playing a huge part in our connection with our Creator. It's not an accident. It's not a mistake. It's been important from the beginning of time with God and His people. Now, here's the math portion. Here's the math quiz in this morning's sermon. I'm gonna give you some numbers. You're going to add them up in your head. You can write them on your bulletin if you want. But the word hymn and hymns appears 4 times in Scripture. Okay? The word music and musicians appears 65 times in Scripture. The word song or songs appears 103 times. And the word sing, singing, or singers appears 183 times. So what do you come up with? Come on now. 355. 355 times. God does not want us to miss the reality that music is a significant part of our intimacy with Him, with our relationship with Him, our connection with Him. Let me give you some examples. We're not only invited to sing, we're instructed to sing. We're told in the Word that we're to minister to one another through music. Ephesians 5:19, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speak to one another. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything. Next one is Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitudes in your heart. See, it isn't just a vertical thing with this music. You know, us and God, it connects us with Him, but somehow, and I don't understand how, it connects us with each other. We minister to one another. We bless one another when we're singing and praising and worshiping the Lord. James 5:13, are you in trouble? Call the cops. Pray. You happy? Sing. Sing if you're happy and you know. You know, you've been doing that for years. So you'll love this, Brant. Jehoshaphat is the king. Got some bad guys out there. He gets the army together. They're going to go out. But first, he selects some people to sing and be the choir and go out ahead of the army folks. Look at this, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. After consulting with the people, I love that phrase, the king consults with the people. It's the way it ought to be, right? Okay? Jehoshaphat anointed and appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, His love endures forever. How big would your choir be, Brant, if that was one of the things? You know, okay, yeah, we're going to send the choir out first and then the soldiers. Next verse. As they began to sing and praise, look what happens. The Lord set ambushes against the enemy, Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. I mean, spiritual warfare right there with the choir out front leading the way. Now, how many of you had devotions this week? How many of you were in the book of Zephaniah? We don't spend much time there. It's a little isolated, obscure book. There's only 3 chapters. It's got only 53 verses, but there's a verse in there that just absolutely blows my mind. Zephaniah chapter 3, it says, the Lord your God is with you. Amen. He's mighty to save. He'll He takes great delight in you. He'll quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Are you serious? God, my Heavenly Father, the Creator, rejoices over me with singing? I don't get that. I mean, the closest picture I get is of a mother standing over a crib and a child, baby in there, and the mother singing. How soothing and comforting and precious. And the Bible says that's what God does for us. It's just amazing. Read this with me, Psalms 100. Let's read it together. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It's he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Praise his name. The Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Music, praise. It's all good stuff. Is that the rain that I hear? Would it not be merciful and gracious of me to just keep preaching till it stops? And you wouldn't have to go out in that? We'll see. Okay, it's one thing to sing to the Lord and enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise, a song in your heart, a song in your lips when things are going good. I mean, that's a pretty natural response, isn't it? When things are going good, praise the Lord. Sing a song. But what about those other times? What about the dark days? What about the really, really hard days? What about the days when there's more confusion and sadness and frustration and fear and anxiety than there is? St. Augustine wrote about the dark night of the soul. You have any idea what I'm talking about? I'll bet every single one of you, all of us, have experienced that. When we're dealing with loss and hurt and depression and sickness and sadness and brokenness, you know, what about then? How does music fit in to the hard days and the dark days and the sad days? Let's go back to Easter week, okay? Just celebrated Easter a month or so ago. I want us to go back to Jerusalem with Jesus and his disciples. They've come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast, and Jesus had arranged for a room for them to be in. And they all gathered to celebrate the Passover. And it was not a happy meal. Jesus had been talking about it for a while, dropping hints for a while, but as he had his men together with him, he began to unfold for them and lay out for them what the next 48 hours was going to look like. And those disciples were rocked and shook to their very core. Jesus began talking about he was going to be arrested, there would be a mockery of a trial, he was going to be beaten. He said, if they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. They hung him up on a cross. He said, I'm going to be hung on a cross. I'm going to be buried in a tomb. I'm going to die. Now think about those disciples. They had given everything up. They'd left everything to follow Jesus, devoted their lives to him for 3 years. They saw all his miracles. They saw him feed 5,000. They heard his teaching and his parables and It just, I mean, and now he's saying, I'm going to leave you. And it's going to get ugly. And yes, if they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. And so he's just laying all this stuff out for them. And I would imagine it was probably the darkest day in the life of each of those disciples. Probably nothing in their lives had ever taken them as low as they were experiencing that night. And after Jesus had washed their feet and shared his heart and prayed for them and fed them, what did he do? Look what the scripture says in Matthew. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and it all began. Jesus didn't try to coach them up. Jesus didn't try to distract them with a parable or a story. Jesus didn't preach a sermon. Jesus led them in a hymn. And he knew, Jesus knew, it was the lowest point of their lives and the darkest experience they'd ever had. And so he said, let's sing a song together. I wonder what they sang. I wonder which one of the psalms they sang, because the psalms was the Hebrew hymn book. So you know more than likely what they sang was right from the psalms. When I get to heaven, that's one of the first questions I'm going to ask Jesus. What did you guys sing that night in the upper room before you went out to the Mount of Olives? What did you sing? And if you were a disciple, can you imagine Jesus leading you in a hymn? I mean, Brant's good, but Jesus. Do you think those disciples ever forgot that moment? And that song, and that experience on that horrible night. Songs in the night. Turn with me to Acts 16, if you would, please. Acts 16, songs in the night. Here's another incident. And I still hear it raining, so we got lots of time. Acts 16, verse 22. Songs in the night. And I want you to notice, Luke is the author of Acts. He wrote this. Luke was a physician. He looked for detail. He spelled things out. I want you to notice the words, the descriptive phrases that he uses. Verse 22, the crowd had joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. The jailer was commanded to guard them carefully, and upon receiving these orders, he put them in the inner cell, as deep into that prison dungeon as you can possibly go. It probably was not only dark, but it was probably cold. And then he fastened their feet in the stocks. Okay, Paul and Silas, this is where they're at. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of that prison were shaken. At once, all of the prison doors flew open, everyone's chains came loose, and the jailer woke up, saw the prison doors open, drew his sword, and was about to kill himself. Now, why is that? Because in Roman times, if you were a Roman soldier and were put on guard and the people you were supposed to be guarding got away, it was a death sentence for you. He knew, that jailer knew, it was all over for him. And so he was going to take his own life because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights, which tells you all this happened in the dark. He rushed in. He fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Songs in the night. You know, David wrote about that. Psalm 77. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. I was in distress. I sought the Lord. At night I stretched out untiring hands and my soul was comforted. And then I remembered my songs in the night. Psalms 42:8, by day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. It was January 1972, 50 years ago. I had just landed in Germany. My first overseas duty assignment as a young soldier, I was 9,000 miles from home, from family, from my pregnant wife who was carrying our first child. Everything familiar. I'd been ripped out of anything familiar and boots on the ground in Germany. Just landed in country after flying all day and all night on a military transport plane. Landed in Frankfurt, Germany, and then a long, long, long bus ride from Frankfurt to this little military outpost in the middle of nowhere. I had completed my basic training at Fort Lewis. I'd completed my advanced infantry training at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and now I'm in Germany. And remember, it's January. Cold, snow, wind. I'd been awake for over 36 hours, and I walked in to check into my new duty assignment, and the staff sergeant said, "I need a guard tonight. Soldier, you're going to guard the ammo dump just outside the walls. And you'll be there from 8 o'clock at night till 8 o'clock in the morning, 12-hour shift. You okay with that?" "Yes, sir." So they issued me a M16 rifle and a sidearm and a 12-hour shift. And I have never felt so alone or isolated or fearful. To be honest with you, I hadn't been in country for an hour. I didn't know if this was going to be the next 2 years of my life, what it was going to be like. I can honestly say, at that time I was 23 years old, I can honestly say I had never been so miserable in my life. And here I am, marching around an ammo dump. I wasn't even sure there was any ammo in that dump. I'm marching around, and I'm sick. I'm on the verge of tears. I'm hungry. I'm tired. I'm miserable. I'm cold. I'm marching around. I think I've died and gone to Germany. It was horrible. And so I'm thinking about Pauline. I'm thinking about my family. I'm thinking about home. I'm thinking about America. I'm thinking about a warm bed. And I began to think, and I don't even know why, but I began to think about the church I grew up in. My dad was a pastor, grew up in church. And in my mind, I began humming some hymns. And I started humming Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And by the time I got to the third verse, I was singing it out loud. And I got through all the verses, and then I started making up some. I knew the tune. I threw some words in there. I started singing Victory in Jesus, all the verses I could remember. I began singing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. And by now, I'm singing full voice. I'm singing Brandt. I'm singing like he, without a microphone. I'm marching and I'm singing, And I keep hearing noises, and I'm wondering if somebody's out there. And I thought, I don't give a rip. I'm serious. I'm singing. It's taking my mind off of the misery. I sang, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I sang the song Brent led us in about this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And I don't know when it happened. I don't know if it was 3 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning, but something happened while I was marching and singing, and God reset my spirit. And God refocused my perspective. And God reminded me of the one who said, Jerry, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm marching around this miserable ammo dump with you. My grace is sufficient for you. For right now, for tomorrow. Songs in the night. Transformational. When we, like Peter walking on the water, when we have our eyes on the storm, we're sinking like a rock. When we keep our eyes on Jesus and that's our perspective, we're walking on the water. And I experienced that night like very few times in my life. One of the songs I sang, and I wasn't sure I had all the words right, and I'm going to ask the team to come back up. We're going to sing this song in closing. It's called God Leads Us Along. Listen to this. Listen to the second verse. Sometimes on the mountain where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood of Jesus. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. I'll tell you, every time I hear that song, and it isn't very often anymore, because I go to a church that sings all choruses. And that's why I said to Brad, I said, this is the song I want. Every time I sing that song, I am back in Germany, cold, miserable, walking, marching, and then being transformed by the power of God's presence in my life. And I am lifted from the deep miry clay. And we're going to sing that together. My hope for you, my prayer for you, is that as we sing, that you'll sense God's presence and his peace and his love no matter what you're going through right now. I wish I knew you better. I wish I could be praying specifically for you, for what you're going through, but I don't know. But God does. And if you want to come and kneel at the altar while we sing, the altars are open. If you want to make an altar right there in the seat where you're sitting, I just want you to, whatever it is going on in your life, I just want you to lay it down and pray it up. I want you to lay it down and pray it up. I want you to give it to God. I don't care how bad it is. I promise you God can come and minister to your heart this morning as we sing about songs in the night. In your darkest moments, in your most difficult situations, the times when you need to be reminded that God loves you and he's singing over you.